I can't resist but telling a joke to start with. So here's the joke. I guess by my accent, you can understand that I'm not Satchinandan Swami. You don't get it? Anyway, I was never good with jokes, so stick with philosophy. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita a bit. And I want to talk a little bit about institutions and spirituality, just a little bit. Then about the power of the holy name, the power of sound, actually, the power of sound. And then we're going to end with a bhajan, which I hope will characterize your experience with the Krishna Institute. There have been so many ups and downs with this retreat, and particularly with Satchinandan Swami's visa problems. And so I know that Janmasthami Prabhu has been going through a lot of tribulations. One of his tribulations was the section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we're going to read from today. But I have good news for you, Janmasthami, that there couldn't be a better section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita to read than this as applies to the Krishna Institute and starting this thing. So I hope you agree. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we're going to chant together Madhya Leela chapter 9, text 329. So why don't we do that first, and then we'll go back and read through all the verses in this section. Madhya Leela 329. Okay, word for words. Dui Jane, both of them, Krishna Katha, topics of Krishna, Kahe, speak, Ratri Dine, day and night, Parama Anande, in great happiness, Gela, past, Panchasatam Dine, 5 to 7 days. Dui Jane, Krishna Katha, Kahe, Ratri Dine, Parama Ananda Gela Pancha Sata Dine. Dui Jane Krishna Katha Kahe Ratri Dine. Parama Ananda Gela Pancha Sata Dine. Please chant. Ladies? Anyone else? Okay, thank you. What text is it supposed to begin on? 19? 3:19? Okay. So I'll read the English, including the verse that we just chanted up to 35. When Ramananda Rai heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived, he was very pleased, and he immediately went to see him. When Ramananda Rai fell flat, touching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately raised him to his feet and embraced him. In great ecstatic love, they both began to cry, and thus their minds were slackened. After some time, they regained their senses and sat together to discuss various subjects. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Ramananda Rai a vivid description of his travels to the holy places and told him how he had acquired the two books named Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita. The Lord delivered the books to Ramananda Rai. The Lord said, "Whatever you have told me about devotional service is all supported by these two books." Ramananda Rai was very happy to receive these books. He tasted the contents along with the Lord and made a copy of each. News spread in the village of Vijayanagara about the arrival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and everyone came to see him once again. After seeing the people who gathered there, Sri Ramananda Rai returned to his home. At noon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up to take his lunch. Sri Ramananda Rai returned at night, and he and the Lord discussed topics concerning Krishna. Thus they passed the night. And this is the verse we chanted. Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed Krishna day and night, and thus they passed 5 to 7 days in great happiness. Ramananda Rai said, "My dear Lord, with your permission, I have already written a letter to the king with great humility. The king has already given me an order to return to Jagannath Puri, and I am making arrangements to do this." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "It is for this purpose alone that I have returned. I want to take you with me to Jagannath Puri." Ramananda Rai said, "My dear Lord, it is better that you proceed to Jagannath Puri alone, because with me there will be many horses, elephants, and soldiers, all roaring tumultuously. I shall make arrangements within 10 days. Following you, I shall go to Nilachala without delay." Giving orders to Ramananda Rai to come to Nilachala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for Jagannath Puri with great pleasure. Om Agyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namah. So Janmasmi, for the reason why I say this is the perfect section for this launch of Krishna Institute is because of what Krishna Institute is about what all of our lives are about as devotees day to day, is to sit together and to discuss Krishna. So this text that we read, 3:29, describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda Roy came together and discussed Krishna day and night. And that's how they passed their time. But did you notice how it describes their time was? With great happiness. This is the characteristic of devotees, as Krishna declares himself in Bhagavad Gita. Much chitta, much gata prana, bodhiyantas parasparam, katiyantas chamam nityam tushanti cha vramanti cha. This is what devotees do. We come together and we discuss about Krishna. Now, granted, we discuss at different levels. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy are discussing at one level of Krishna consciousness. And we can't imitate that. We don't need to imitate that. There are different levels at which we associate with one another, but the principle is the same. To come together and discuss about Krishna. And whatever level we do that on, we can do it with great happiness. So from my perspective, it's with great happiness that we inaugurate and begin this Krishna Institute, because it's for this purpose only. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has arranged it that we read about that. This is Krishna Institute, Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting together. This is Krishna Institute, the devotees coming together to hear Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis. This is Krishna Institute, where we come together and we chant the holy name of the Lord. The kirtan was so wonderful last night. Madhavabhu was leading. As we were driving off, we had to leave a little early before it ended, and as we were driving off, we remarked that, well, Madhavabhu didn't come to our traditional kirtan gathering we have around Thanksgiving time. Last year he couldn't come. So now he has to make up for it. So we're going to put him to the test while he's here these next few days, demanding kirtan from him because it's so sweet. It causes such great happiness in the heart. This is Krishna Institute, and you might say, okay, that's Krishna, but why Institute? I mentioned I'm going to talk a little about institutions here. This being the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, founded by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We may read this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita and say, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy didn't have an institute. They didn't have an organization. They just came and sat and talked about Krishna. Why do we need an organization? Well, as a member of the GBC body, I've had little time to reflect on organizations and why we need them. And it changes over time. When many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples joined this institution in the early days, the focus of that institution was to create devotees, create a society, create places where Krishna Katha could develop. Now, it may be a little different. Now, the institution may be there to more facilitate the growth and development of what we used to call the inmates of the institution. Boil the milk, Prabhupada said. Even during his presence, Prabhupada said at certain times, well, we have enough temples now, let's boil the milk. Let's make sure our devotees become strong in Krishna consciousness. And how do we do that? How do we become strong in Krishna consciousness? No one can say. Association with devotees and chanting. Hearing and chanting about Krishna, Krishna Katha. That's the purpose. And so we've seen over the last couple of decades endeavors, particularly in India, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, Mayapur Institute, different institutions or structured organizations that have developed specifically to give this Krishna Katha, give this opportunity to Krishna Katha to others. And by creating a special environment, a special place, carving out a special time in our lives, these institutions thrive. Just like some of you are visiting Raman Reti, New Raman Reti here. You've carved out some time from your life, from your ordinary life, to come and engage in Krishna Katha. That is very much wanted. That is very much wanted. And it seems, based on our experience over the last couple of decades, that when there's an institution that offers the opportunity, then people take advantage of it. Take advantage to come together and hear and chant at programs that are arranged. And so that's what Krishna Institute is giving us the opportunity to do, beginning today with a launch. And as I mentioned, Janmashtami is working with other devotees to make it happen. Manoram Prabhu, I just want to mention his name as well. Very hard working to try to get this done. And despite the setbacks, major setbacks of someone like Satchinandan Swami not being able to come here to be part of this launch, I think it can still be successful. It's almost like Krishna's challenge to us. How much do you want it? Do you want it? Or are you just easily going to cast it aside? I hope you won't easily cast it aside. So that's a little bit about institutions, spirituality. Of course, there's much to be said, pro and con, for that, and I don't want to debate that here today, but I do want to move on to the next facet of what I wanted to cover today, and that is the power of sound. We're going to become absorbed in a kirtan retreat. Kirtan is spiritual sound, and we have the opportunity to hearing from a lot of very experienced kirtaniyas here that have come to be part of the retreat. So I just want to give some of the basics. I'm an educator, what can I say? So we have to make sure we have the ABCs down before we start solving all kinds of chemical equations with the philosophy of the holy name. There are some basics that we should understand about the power of sound. Particularly in the Vedic tradition, sound is extremely important. Sound is, the universe is created by sound. It's not sound as incidental. Sound is very essential for the creation of this material world, where countless living entities are given the opportunity by the Supreme Lord to enact their desires, even though those desires are contrary to what the Lord would want. Sound, by sound, the Lord facilitates that. Let me just read to you, speaking of sound, something that Srila Prabhupada said about sound, and I think it's very instructive in a couple of ways. He said, so this creation, the beginning of the creation is the sound. The modern physicists, they also agree. Sound and light, according to their theory. But the sound is the origin of creation, mixed with these modes of ignorance. Everything here in the material world is spiritual reflection covered by the material elements. So when this sound is purified and you can catch up the spiritual sound, then your spiritual life begins. Try to understand what he's saying. The sound is not only the creation of this material world, but it's also the beginning of our spiritual life. It's also the beginning of our spiritual life. Our spiritual life begins from sound. It begins from sound. What sound is that? Yes. The sound is given by the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada came over 50 years ago to the United States of America, and he had some of his books with him, which are recorded sound, but really all he had was sound. All he had was sound. He took that sound and went out into the public streets in the United States, and he gave it to people. He got a small storefront in New York. He gave spiritual sound. And from that, this whole international society has developed, from the sound that emanated from his mouth. So it's very, very powerful sound, and we should appreciate it, especially the opportunity we get to chant this mantra. So some of the basics of this science are mantra. Mantra means to deliver the mind. We know that definition. But I was speaking with a gentleman the other, not long ago, and he was explaining to me, he was a Sanskrit scholar, and he asked me, do you know the difference between a mantra and a shloka? Does anybody know the difference between a mantra and a shloka? They're both a spiritual sound. Okay, they're both spiritual sound. But does anybody know the difference between the two? No one. I might show you how irrelevant the man's comments were, that so many experienced devotees don't know the difference between a mantra and a shloka. Yeah, well, let you know what he said. He said that mantras are unchanging sound, the unchanging sounds of the Vedas, the uncreated, the unwritten sound of the Vedas. So all the original Vedas, they're mantras. Whereas shlokas we find in the Puranas, Itihasas, other histories that are written by the great sages. So they write shlokas, but mantras are the unchanging sound of the Vedas. Now, of course, as I mentioned, and it's not surprising that that's not known to some of the scholars in our audience here today, because for us, it really doesn't make any difference. Our acharyas, particularly Rupa Goswami, has said, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharacha Vigin Vina. He's explained that anything, devotional service to Krishna that ignores the authorized literature, such as the Upanishads and Puranas. Upanishads are from the original Vedas, they're mantras. But the Puranas are smriti, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version, written by great sages. So our acharyas say, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatna Vidin Vina. It doesn't make any difference. They don't differentiate between mantra and shloka. Both are spiritual sound vibration that facilitate our devotional service. So the point of this little difference between sloka and mantra is to understand that don't let anybody tell you that what is given to us by Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas is not as good as the original Vedic sounds. No. The holy name is mantra and shloka. Actually, the holy name is non-different from Krishna himself. And so we should understand what we've been given. We've been given eternal sound that can revive our eternal existence. But we should understand something about the holy name and its effect on us. Because sometimes we're given mantras and we use them without understanding the power of the sound vibration. And it can cause trouble. The example is Kunti. When Kunti was a young girl, Dravasa Muni came to her father's palace and Kunti was given the task of serving him, and she served him very nicely. So nicely that Dravasa Muni wanted to give her a benediction when he left, and so he gave her a mantra. Now, Kunti actually sort of doubted the efficacy of that mantra. She thought, well, let me test it out. I don't know if this is going to work, but let me test it out. She was told that if she chanted this mantra, a demigod, one of the demigods, would come to her. So she said, well, let me check it out. I don't know, maybe, maybe not. She chanted it. The mantra worked. Surya Dev came, and we know the history of troubles that followed from that. So we have to be very careful when we're giving mantras. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was also given mantra by his guru. And what was the effect that he experienced when he chanted that mantra? Did it work? Of course it worked. Yes. Yes, but he didn't understand the... Well, of course, we understand the Leela of the Lord. But he said that it made him like a madman. He was laughing, crying, rolling on the ground. This way. He wondered, what happened to me? What kind of mantra have you given me? Isn't it? So what did he do that distinguishes him from what Kunti did? Yes. Who said? He didn't understand the mantra, the effect of the mantra on him, so he went to his spiritual master who gave him the mantra and inquired, what kind of mantra have you given me? Please explain to me. So if we have questions about the efficacy of the Hare Krishna mantra, how to integrate that mantra into our lives, how that will change our lives. Is there anyone here, I mean, you're all experienced, but is anyone here who hasn't had their life changed by chanting Hare Krishna? Is there anyone? My life has not changed. I don't think anybody can say that, no. Our life changes when we get this mantra, so we should understand. If we have questions, come to Krishna Institute. There's so many tutors that will be here. You can talk to them about the effect. Ask your guru. Study Srila Prabhupada's books. In this way, you can gain the required faith. Because if we chant these mantras without faith, then the effect is going to be less than if we chant with faith. So we should chant with faith. And the mantra must be authorized. Another basic point. That the mantra must be authorized. It must be received in the chain of the septic session. Sampradaya vahinaye mantraste nisphalam mata. Nisphala. You won't get the fruit if it's not coming in the septic succession. Therefore, we should be very careful to make sure we receive the mantra correctly and that we chant it according to the instructions that have been given. Especially this is true of the Vedic mantras we were speaking of a little while ago. Vedic mantras, they're very strict rules for chanting them. They're very strict rules for chanting Vedic mantras. And if we make a mistake, it can be disastrous. What's the example? So I heard it. Rikasura is the example. He chanted, I have it here. He chanted, they made the difference. He chanted Indra Shatru. Instead of pronouncing the intended word Indra Shatru, which means enemy of India, Twasta mistakenly said Indra Shatru, making a long A. So the meaning was changed to Indra, who is an enemy. So basically, Indra was performing a sacrifice to defeat his enemy, and he engaged the Brahmin Twasta to do it. But he chanted the mantra wrong, one syllable. He made it long rather than short. And as a result, rather than getting an ally who could kill his enemies, he got an enemy who could kill him. We have to be so careful. When Vedic rituals are done, they have different priests, and some of those priests are referees just sitting there to hear the sound vibration to make sure that it's done right, because if it's not done right, then the wrong result can come very easily. So is this something that we have to worry about? Thank God. With Hare Krishna mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he's seen the age in which we live. He's seen it. He's experienced it. And he's concluded that. And Srila Prabhupada has also concluded that. If I hold them to the standards of Vedic rules and regulations concerning shastra, concerning mantra pronunciation, then I don't know what the result will be. Srila Prabhupada's humorous response was, well, Krishna knows who's calling him, even though you may pronounce it incorrectly. So that's a special dispensation given to us in this age of Kali, in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Of course, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to pronounce correctly. Many of our devotees have instituted one program after another. I know that His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj, he wrote a book on Sanskrit pronunciation. And I think there was another effort that was being made by somebody that came to the attention of the GBC earlier this year. So it's important that we chant correctly. But if we don't, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us special dispensation. But that's not all that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us in terms of dispensation. The Hare Krishna mantra is very special in that it gives us realization of the topmost form and pastimes of the Lord. Namo Mahavanandaya Krishna Premapadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tirase Namaha. This verse was recited in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came not only to give us spiritual life, liberation from the tribulations of this world, but to also give us love of Radha and Krishna. Love of Radha and Krishna in a conjugal mellow. There is no higher expression of the Lord than in his form of Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar. And that's been made available to us poor souls in Kali Yuga by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Very special. So, in a way, in honor of that, not in honor of that, but in a way to express our appreciation for that, many bhajans have been written by great devotees. I'd like to share with you a bhajan about the holy name that's very beautiful, that we can sing together. So why don't you all come up and get ready. Now, I need to get this up here for all of us. Madhuram Madre Magbhye Po Pir. You want to give him this? He can find it. So we can chant this, this bhajan. Is there somebody that can play the mridanga? Keshav is not here. Keshav, can you?
Madhura madhure bhyopi mangale bhyopi mangalam madhura Mangale bhyopi mangalam Pavanam pavane bhyopi Hare name vake valam Pavanam pavane bhyopi Hare name Sattama Paryantam Sarvamaya Mayam Jagat Abrahma Sattama Paryantam Satyam Satyam Puna Satyam Harinam Eva Kevalam Saguru Sapita Chapi Samata Bandhava Pisa Shikshaye Chetada Smartum Harinam Eva Kevalam Nishvasena hi vishvasa kada rudha bhavishyati Tatra Yatra Bhagavata Jana Gayanti Bhakti Bhavena Harinam Eva Kevalam Sarvam Rajate Sakalo Pari Chidananda Mayam Shur
Anything that is reality, reality. Again, I say reality. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. That person is a true preceptor or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend. Also, only if they teach one to always remember. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very chant. The only name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Aho, what a sorrow, what a great sorrow. More painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It should be heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Haribo. So, best wishes to all the devotees who have come for Krishna Institute here and on the Traveling Ecstasy Party that's going out from here. Is that what you said it's called, Traveling Ecstasy Party? What's the difference between kirtan and ecstasy? Well, thank you for coming and for all of our local devotees here. Just a bit of information for you. We have the most ecstatic morning program in the history of ISKCON here, chanting and dancing, going round and round the kirtan leader. So you're welcome to come and join us every morning with that. And we'll end there so you can have breakfast and go on with your activities. 11 a.m. sharp for Maharaj. So we should be here before. Okay. Okay. Okay, so 10 o'clock kirtan starts and Maharaj is coming on the screen live at 11. Oh, Madhava's starting the kirtan. Okay, well, that's more impetus to get here on time. So, thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.